Good morning and welcome to another edition of The Beacon. Bill Jurek here, along with your Wheaties and your shredded wheat and sounds like stuff I'd hear on Let Us Turn Up the Beat segment.
Okay, are we carb loading this morning?
That's right, by my
your lovely co-host. Oh, boy, you even took it a step further. Thank you. I'm Lainey Kleeman.
And you are the host of the new segment called Let Us Turn Up the Beat.
Yes, I like watching you say that.
And stay back and sit down and think about it over there. Don't be running off out of the kitchen.
No.
Just sit down and listen
and hold on. I might have something good to say.
You will, because like I told you last week, I'm really getting into this.
I really am glad, because honestly, no joking aside, this man has rolled his eyes ever since I became a vegan. Like, aside from the on-air banter, when we are off-air talking on the phone or whatever, and I'm telling him about my new endeavor, it is an eye roll. It is a, you know, snarky joke. So the fact that you are actually engaged in what I have to say means a lot. To me.
Me and Reese, we stand there, we roll our eyes.
Oh, Lord.
Mom. Except she goes, Mom, and I go, Lainey.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, yep, I got it everywhere.
You and your kale recipes, so.
I have not posted one single kale recipe.
Listen, we are going to talk about employment this week.
Good.
And Sheila Perkins is going to join us. It's kind of a repeat of a feature we did earlier on the program, but it never hurts to talk. You know, there's a saying in advertising, tell them you told them and tell them again.
Yeah.
And there's no reason that we shouldn't repeat some of these great ideas that she has for when you are going in and looking for a job and resume writing and that sort of thing. So she'll be here with us.
Good.
And then it's going to be our own very own Jerry Zivick, who advertised on our program for years. He's retired now and is willing to give us some information about not only Social Security for disability, but also straight Social Security.
Great.
And then we're going to stop in with Lainey and visit with Let Us Turn Up the Beat.
Yep.
Right here
we'll be here.
The Beacon Show. That's right. And in Tom's Corner. I'm Bill Jurek.
I'm Lainey Kleeman.
Stick around for Sheila Perkins coming up next.
I think the best thing about Freedom Place is the camaraderie that you have with the people.
The living accommodations are wonderful. The food is phenomenal. I love the food. I would recommend Freedom Place.
Independent community living for the blind and visually impaired. Call 773-989-9800 or online at freedmanplace.org. Freedom Place. It's a great place to live.
Miss Sheila Perkins, how are you?
I am doing well, Mr. Bill Jurek. How are you?
I am well, and it's so good to have you back on the program with us.
It's nice to be here.
You know, you always pass along these little nuggets of knowledge and these wistful wisdom wisps.
Yes.
That just, you know, just excite me to no end, and I'm sure the audience gets a lot out of them, too.
I sure hope they do.
it's about the size of it. So you have now. We're going to be talking about resumes.
We need to.
And we're going to be talking about interviewing tips.
We're
going to
talk about a few interview tips. I have three little things that bug me in interviews.
All right, because I usually like beef tips, but I mean, I'll take an interview tip if I have
to. This is an interview tip.
And then we have something else.
And we have, yes, something else that I need to bring everyone up to date on.
Okay. Well,
all right.
Let's start out with the resume.
Sure.
With the resume information, and what are you sharing with us today?
Well, you know, whenever I run across articles or any type of information that can help someone beef up their resume and really make it look good, I want to share it. And I have recently run across a number of articles, and they've got all these buzzwords in them. And I really think, and people go, but you really need to hear this.
I know, but you know, a buzzword, they drive me nuts.
They do, but you know what? These are the 17 most irritating buzzwords that employers don't want to see.
Okay, and they are, starting with number 17.
Starting with number 17.
Yes.
10%. track record. If you put on your resume that you have a track record of doing something,
they automatically toss
it. I have a track record of being a nice person. I have a track record of doing whatever the job is. You know, there's got to be another way
of saying it
besides saying you have a track record.
Oh, God, yeah. Okay.
You have extensive experience.
Yeah.
You've worked in it. Yeah, that kind of thing. But track record is like a word they don't want to hear.
I'm going to ask you something when we're done with this 17
sure.
list here, but go ahead. 16?
Number 16, proactive. And that was a word, and that was, you know, people were using that a lot, saying that they're proactive in solving problems, and they're proactive in seeing things ahead of time. They don't want to hear that either.
No, I'm sure.
Number 15, detail-oriented.
This is what we all should be, for Pete's sake.
They don't want to hear that you're detail-oriented.
All right, no, they probably heard the show anyway, so go ahead.
14, self-motivated. Now, I kind of like self-motivated.
I do, too.
And I've looked up a couple of other writings, and I've seen that in some places, self-motivated is accepted.
What was the one right before that?
That was detail-oriented.
Well, and wouldn't that go along together? Those two of them would make sense.
Well, the one thing that I have done, even on my own resume, is change detail-oriented to I pay close attention to detail.
Good. Well, that's good. Okay.
So that, okay.
Okay.
I've taken the oriented, so it doesn't sound like I'm a master at it.
Right. Exactly.
Self-motivated, I still like, but this particular writing is saying that employers just don't want to hear that.
Right, okay.
You might want to use it in your cover letter, maybe, and explain it. I'm self-motivated because don't just say it.
Right.
Because it could mean, I think it's broad and it could mean anything. And so that's probably what they're trying to get at.
I'm going
to
tell you something when you're done with this list about just what you're talking about. Go ahead.
You're going to love number 13.
Oh, okay.
Dynamic. It sounds like you're introducing yourself on a road show.
Absolutely.
Dynamic, yes.
Now the dynamic.
That's right. Leave that out.
Okay.
Number 12, strategic thinker.
You know, I had to do a strategic interview for somebody a while back.
Uh-huh.
It was like pulling teeth.
Yeah.
Because I sat there I'm never a man for a few words.
Right.
But I thought to myself, what am I going to say?
Exactly.
You know, it's like putting you on the spot. But, okay, go ahead.
Strategic thinking, you never say anything.
Right.
Number 11, hard worker. Obviously, you're a hard worker. Your resume would reflect that.
Sure.
Okay. Number 10, bottom line. Number 9, team player.
Well, one would only hope.
Exactly. And team player has a lot of meanings.
Yep.
And bottom line, you really, really have to be careful with that one. If you're, I used that one time in saying that I assisted in helping increase the bottom line of the organization.
Oh.
You have to make sure you're very specific about where bottom line fits.
Right. Which makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Number 8 is results driven. Well,
we would all hope all of us are
results driven.
Right.
Number 7, value added.
No, it sounds like an appliance sale.
Number 6, thought leadership. Number 5, you're going to love this one, Bill.
Yeah.
Go-to person. Do not use that on your resume, that you were the go-to person.
I was the go-to. I'm your go-to man for this.
That's exactly right. And here, number 4, synergy.
Well, I'm guilty of that. I do that.
Synergy.
I think
that's getting a little old now.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Here's another one. Number 3.
Yes.
The top 3. Think outside the box.
Yeah, and that's so old it's got whiskers.
Nobody's defined the box yet.
No.
So how can you think? Where's your thinking
outside
coming
the
from?
Box, right.
That's exactly right. Number 2, go-getter.
Okay, go get who?
There you go.
Oh, go get her. Okay,
go get her.
All right, go ahead.
And number 1. Da 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 da.
Yeah.
Best of the breed.
You know, but the sad part is, and so the audience knows, these do show up on resumes.
On resumes, yeah. Exactly. Now, the 17, now I couldn't be, this wouldn't work unless I gave you the 17 most powerful words.
Okay.
All right, you ready?
All right, I'm ready.
Shall we do 13 to 1 again?
Yep. Let's do it.
Actually, it's 15 most powerful words. Number 15, one. If you're describing something that you've done. Number 14, under budget. That's a good one.
Oh, that's a real good one.
Number 13, revenue profits.
Okay.
That's a good one. Number 12, launched. Number 11.
You got a rocket here. Okay, go ahead.
Number 11.
Right.
Negotiated.
You're not going to die on me. Over
no,
there.
I'm fine. Okay, I'm fine. Right. I'm getting excited. Right. Number 11, negotiated. Number 10, ideas.
Okay.
Number 9, increased or decreased. Those are good words. Number
Actually,
8.
Actually, those are. Yeah,
yes,
you're right.
Those are good words.
Makes sense.
And number 8, influenced. Those are good words. Influenced, increased, decreased, negotiated, and launched. Those are good words.
Those are good words, yeah.
Number 7, volunteered.
Okay.
Number 6, resolved. That's another good word. It's action-oriented. Number 5, created. I use that a lot.
Right.
Number 4, managed. Number 3, trained/mentored.
Right.
Number 2, improved. And the number 1 word, achieved. So... Those are the
dynamic words.
Those are the dynamic words.
Versus, you know what one bothers me to no end and people use it? No worries.
No worries.
What's the matter with don't worry about it? No worry. We can do it. What is this worry stuff? That reminds me of Australia.
Exactly. No, don't put that on your resume.
No, either. Don't do that.
Don't give anybody ideas. Don't give people any ideas or something that they have to think about.
Right, exactly.
And come up with their own idea. You want it to be yours. It's your resume.
Yes, because we are dealing with HR people, so.
You are so bad, Bill. So now we have
the
10 unforgettable lies that HR has discovered on resumes.
Okay.
All right.
You know, a lot of this would be avoided if we were able to do it the old way.
What's that?
Where you could go in, call the person, talk to them on the phone, and then go in and see it.
And fill out an application.
Fill out an application.
That's it.
Right.
Exactly.
You know, but no, we have to make things difficult today.
That's right.
It's like remote controls for TV. How many you got? About 3 of them at home? You can never use one remote control for a TV anymore. You know, you have to have 2 or 3 of them.
Yes.
All right, so now what are the lies?
All right, the lies.
I have a master's degree.
And let me give you a hint on that one. And for you resume writers out there, if you've had the classes, if you've had graduate study classes, then put on there that you are working. You know that your whatever the degree is, whatever the area or field you're done, but put graduate studies underneath.
Underneath field.
It.
Okay.
So that they know that you've taken the courses.
Okay.
All right. Then if they ask you to explain it, then you can explain it.
Right. But other than that, don't mess with it.
No.
All right.
Job experience that was actually the applicant's father, because the father and son had the same name. Do not do that.
No.
Do not do that, because a lot of times in interviews, more times than not, HR will refer to your resume.
Sure.
And if you've got information on there that you did not review and it was your father's, and so that you can make yourself look good, it's not going to work, because you all had the same name and you think that they're just going to do a check.
Do you think maybe that some fathers are guilty for saying, just put my stuff down, we got the same name anyway?
Exactly.
You know. So.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Here's one. You're going to love this.
Okay.
An applicant claimed to be the assistant to the prime minister of a foreign country that doesn't have a prime minister. Okay, come on, guys. Do your homework.
Oh, my Lord.
If you're, you know, do your homework.
Yeah,
all
exactly.
Right? Don't exaggerate so much that it's something that can be easily checked.
Wow.
A candidate claimed to have been a high school basketball free throw champion.
Okay.
He's never played basketball, and he said that in the interview.
To show that he was athletic.
That's right.
Yes.
Exactly.
It has all kinds of energy.
One applicant claimed to have an Olympic medalist, to be an Olympic medalist.
Are you kidding?
No.
Wow.
No. No. Candidate's resume claimed that he had been a construction supervisor.
Okay, well, that's plausible sometimes if somebody thinks that they were doing the job of a supervisor.
Well,
yeah.
That is, Bill, but you have to be careful.
Right.
Because when you're doing resumes, when you're applying for jobs and you're in the interview process, you have to make sure that everybody that is involved with what you do is on the same page.
Sure, sure.
So therefore, that includes your references. So what happened when HR called one of the person's references and asked about the construction supervisor experience, the reference said, oh, yes, he built a doghouse some years ago.
Oh.
That was his construction experience.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
He's not lying, but it's not what they're looking for.
Not what they're looking for.
Right, exactly.
The applicant claimed to have had 25 years of experience, and he's 32 years old. You started when you were two?
Well, he was seven. Oh, okay. You know, that's right. About it. Yeah.
All right. Applicant claimed to have worked for 20 years as a babysitter of known celebrities, Tom Cruise and Madonna.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. Resume listed three jobs over the past several years. Upon contacting those employers, the interviewer learned that the applicant had worked at one job for 2 days, another job for 1 day, and not at all at the third job.
No kidding. Wow. Now that's chutzpah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. The resume indicated that the applicant had quit his last job.
Right.
The problem was the applicant was applying for a position at the company he just worked for, and they terminated him.
Wow. Wow.
Applicant, the last one, applicant applied twice for the same position. And you ready for this?
Yeah.
Provided different work history for each job.
Holy man.
You have got to be conscious
when
you do these things. When you are, this is very serious when you're putting resumes together and a whole interview process. Everything has to match. Everything has to be in line. You have to tell your references what to say. And that's the other part of this bill. And I know you're ready to speak, but let me get this out.
Yeah, no, go
ahead. You must make sure when you ask people for references that you say, will you give me a good one? Because people will give you a reference and they will say, well, you know, she's a good worker, but God knows you ought to see her bedroom. It's horrible. Well,
that's true. That's probably true.
That's exactly right.
I was just going to ask you about that. That was why I had my mouth open, like I was going to ask you, because a friend of mine recently just asked if I could be a reference on her resume. And I said yes, so she put me on there and send them, to a few places. Then I thought to myself, you know, you haven't seen this person or worked with this person in 15 years. So you don't really
know what
the work habits are or anything.
That's right.
You know, so.
That's right.
You know, and I didn't go back to tell her, no, you know, I can't do this for you, or you got to change it or anything else like that. But it's just one of those things that crossed my mind, and I went, oh, no, what did I just do?
That's right. And if you don't think you can give the person a good reference, say
then
no.
Don't do it. Yeah.
Just say no.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Gee, wow.
So there you have it.
In a nutshell.
In a nutshell, tips for resumes.
Now, are you going to have these available like on a website or something for people who will listen?
Well, you know, we have not done that yet, and we need to do that for employment services. We need to start putting this information out so people can have it.
Right.
We have had a couple of people that have called and asked for transcripts or, you know, information of what we've talked about in the past, and I've sent it out to them. So, you know, I think right now if people call the Lighthouse, we can get them information, but we haven't posted anything yet.
Wow. And it's still, you have to apply online, correct?
Still have to apply online for any jobs with us, yes.
Right, right.
Yes.
Because I know I was talking to somebody who was interested in doing some work up at our Chris Radio station.
Yeah.
And not only volunteer, but also as a part-time paid employee.
Yes.
And has to go through the same process.
That's exactly right.
You know.
That's exactly right.
You know what, though? Because we've become such a technical world today, I think that's a good idea.
Yes.
You know, not that I have to see, I don't have to look for a job anymore, so I don't care, you know. So, but it's just so difficult for people today.
It is.
Wow.
It is. It is. It definitely is. And mistakes on your resume, please spell check it.
Yep.
And here's another tip. Print it out and look at it. Don't just look at it on the computer.
Right.
Print it out.
Make sure it's aligned right on
aligned
the page
right.
And everything.
Make sure your tenses match.
Right.
Make sure you have appropriate spaces in between your words. And here's something else. We are all human. when you pull your resume out or when you print it to read it and you find maybe two mistakes or something like that that you did not catch, do not call the people and tell them I'll send you another resume, because 9 times out of 10, if it passed your eye, they may not see it either.
Is it good to put a picture on a resume?
I don't put pictures on anything, Bill.
Well, neither do I. I scare the hell out of them.
No.
But that's why I stay in radio, you know?
I don't. I am not a fan of pictures on resumes.
Some people have to have their mug all over the place, you know?
I am not a fan of pictures on resumes.
And you know what? The big thing that we touched on a while back, but to bear in mind again, social media.
Exactly. Be
Don't
careful.
Say anything you wouldn't want somebody
That's
to see.
That's right. Be careful.
Because, boy, it can get you into trouble.
It can.
It can get you into deep trouble.
It can.
Are you going to post those anywhere? Or can somebody call up and get that?
Yeah, they can call up and get all this information.
Good.
Yes.
Okay, because I know we're doing a lot of changes on our website.
Yeah.
And that kind of information would be terrific.
Well, I will make sure.
Sandra Murillo, who works with us on the show, she's our associate producer. She writes a blog now at The Lighthouse.
Oh, I can tell her.
I was going to say, why don't you do that?
I will do that.
You know, and by mentioning it on the show here, I want everybody to realize that she is doing the blog. She's done one on different airports and how friendly they are to people who are blind or visually impaired. And she's had a couple of other ones since, you know, we talked. So, I mean, if you could put that on there, that would be a big help.
I would definitely do that. I'll talk to her as soon as I finish.
Well, sounds like a plan. Listen, you have a great Mother's Day.
I will. And I was going to say you too, but you're not a mother. So,
well, okay. I've been called worse. But listen, do me a favor.
Yes.
Keep us in mind, because we'll have you back next month. Because I think these little sessions where we talk about ideas like this, nobody would ever think of a lot of those.
No, I know.
Nobody
exactly.
Would.
Do we have any more time left? I have one
more
thing.
Sure, yeah, no problem.
One more thing to tell you. When interviewing. Mm-hmm. You know, Bill, the latest thing now is this medical marijuana thing.
Oh, that's right. We were talking about that.
Yeah, and this is not a show.
Doesn't that fall under ADA, though?
Well, I just need people to understand. You cannot walk into an employer and say, I'm on medical marijuana, and expect them to just give you the job.
It's roll not, over, yeah.
And roll over.
Right.
It's not. You have to be able to have proof from your doctor.
Sure.
You have to make sure that it's approved in whatever state you're in.
Right.
You have to make sure that the doctor's notes are up to date and that you have no problem with them contacting the doctor. Mm-hmm. It is still a drug. And people are still leery of this whole medical marijuana piece.
Too.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
That's what you got to watch out
Please
for.
Be careful yeah. saying that when you go into interviews.
I think we've opened up a Pandora's box with all
if
of this.
If we don't put some rules and regulations with it, that's what we will have.
And you know what? We ought to finally just decide whether we're going to make it legal or illegal. And then if you're going to make it legal and you want to sell it as a cigarette, package it just like cigarettes and go along with it.
And go along with it. But yeah. Until that happens,
then we
have
to do this
careful.
Stuff.
You
yeah,
have to
exactly.
Be careful. Exactly.
Well, listen, it's always good to have you with us.
Good to be here.
And I'm sure people can contact you at the Lighthouse themselves if they'd like to talk.
Absolutely.
If we have some visually impaired people. Do you restrict it only to visually impaired or other employment
other disabilities and
too?
Veterans.
And veterans, too.
Excellent.
So
exactly.
Sheila, we can give her number out, which is 312-666-1331.
Extension 3647.
She'll be more than glad to talk to you, or else have somebody on her staff help you out.
Absolutely.
Help you get that job that you need so bad.
Absolutely. And if you're going to an interview and you're getting a little antsy and you need some tips, call us. We'll help you out. We've done it before.
And you know what? That's one of the nice things about the service provided. So.
Exactly.
Sheila Perkins, who is the Vice President of Employment Services at the Chicago Lighthouse. A lot of great information on our show this week.
Oh yeah, we've got some good things, and we'll have, if you have me back, we have some more.
I am going to have you back all the time, and you did good.
Thank you.
The show's The Beacon. We'll be back with more after this.
1.4 million people in Illinois who really want to work can't. Financially, it doesn't make sense for them. You see, if they were employed, they'd lose Medicaid health coverage, and private insurance is almost impossible to get. This is the reality for people with disabilities. Meet Anna. She's single with severe diabetes. Anna couldn't work because no employer would provide health insurance, and she had to keep her income low enough for Medicaid. But now there is a solution for Anna, a state program called Health Benefits for Workers with Disabilities. Anna can enroll in HBWD and get full health care benefits, even working part-time. If this sounds like someone you know, call 800-226-0768 or visit hbwdillinois.com to learn more about health insurance for working individuals with disabilities. Move beyond your disability and take control. Call 800-226-0768 or visit hbwdillinois.com today.
Back on the Beacon we are.
Here we are.
And Lainey is about to join us with a feature that is actually becoming one of my favorite on the program.
Thank you. That's really quite an honor.
Turn up the beat. So that's exactly what we're going to do right now.
Welcome to this week's health tips on Lainey's Let Us Turn Up the Beat. This week we're going to be talking about grains. And so every week I suggest healthier substitutions so that we can help to optimize the function of our bodies to elongate our lives. So this week, in talking about grains, I just want to say that with white rice, we tend to eat a lot of white rice. It's white because the fiber has been stripped out of it. So it is actually brown rice that then goes through a process to strip out all the fiber, and we're left with white rice, which is nutrient deficient. So my suggestion here is, instead of white rice, just eat the brown rice. The brown rice, that's the natural form, that's its whole food, that's the natural state that it was meant to be eaten in. You've got your fiber, it aids in digestion, et cetera, et cetera. So for your next meal, instead of going for the white rice, try the brown rice. There's not much difference in how it tastes, in my opinion. So that would be my suggestion. My other suggestion, we're getting a little on the exotic side here, but not really, is instead of a couscous for a side dish, which, again, is just a processed wheat flour, and here come the eye rolls. I know, you don't do couscous, you don't do quinoa, I get it. But there's a lot of people that do, especially quinoa is, you know, sort of a big superfood these days. But instead of couscous, instead of going with the processed wheat flour, substitute it for quinoa, which, again, is a grain in its whole food form, and it's a superfood. It's packed with protein, it's packed with nutrients. So instead of getting, again, a nutrient-deficient side dish, you can get essentially a very similar texture, a very similar, it satisfies in the same way. If you have a craving for a carb-loaded side dish, the quinoa is actually very substantial and can help you with those, you know, satisfy those cravings. So without further ado, those grain substitutions are my two tips of the week. So join me next week for Lainey's Let Us Turn Up the Beat.
Hey, Dad, how do you throw a curveball? How do you build a fort? How do refrigerators run? How do fish learn how to swim?
Kids ask a lot of questions.
How high can you jump?
But you don't have to know every answer.
How many phone numbers are there?
Because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent.
How do cell phones work?
There are thousands of children in foster care who don't need every question answered.
What's electricity?
They just need you.
What's the moon made of?
For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
If you plan to apply for a Social Security disability benefits, there are things you can do to help speed up the usual 3 to 5 month wait for a decision. The more information you provide up front, the less time it'll take us to obtain the needed evidence, and the faster the decision can be made. Information like medical records or documentation, the names, addresses, and phone numbers of your doctors and medical facilities, information on your past employment, and more. To be prepared, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/disability and select disability starter kits.
You forgot something in your segment.
I do. I'm still trying to get like the whole, you know, the what's the word I'm looking for?
Getting
I can't say it, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know.
It's still new, so there's still some awkwardness that needs to be worked out in terms of the routine.
Don't you remember when we first started the show?
Oh, boy.
How disjointed everything sounded.
I remember.
Now we just got 7 years under our belt, and we're still disjointed.
We're still like a squeaky wheel, but that's okay. That's okay. It shouldn't take this long to get me rolling with my new feature.
I have to think about a cookbook here pretty soon.
I would love that.
Come up some recipes and stuff.
That would be great. So what I'm doing also in conjunction with the Lainey's Let Us Turn Up the Beat weekly feature on the show is I'm every week on our Facebook page, I'm posting a recipe of the week. So the recipe this week is a Chipotle mac and cheese. which is vegan, plant-based, delicious, beautiful comfort food, will satisfy just the regular traditional boxed mac and cheese will that's full of chemicals and horrible things that, you know, hurt our bodies.
Right.
So look for that on our Facebook page this week, and we are at the Lighthouse Beacon on Facebook, so join us there.
What was that other stuff that you were talking about?
When?
When you were talking about substituting something for couscous. What was it?
Quinoa? Oh, please. Have you ever tried it?
No, but everybody's talking about it.
I know.
Hey, but, I know what I wanted to ask you.
Oh, okay.
Where can you find a lot of this?
Oh, you know what? That's a good question, because I was actually going to address that, and I have not. So some of these, you know, I haven't been getting real fancy on anybody.
Right.
Quinoa and couscous are probably two of the more exotic things that I've mentioned since we started the feature. Couscous, you know, we don't want couscous. We're substituting that out, and we're substituting for quinoa. Quinoa can be found, quinoa can be found anywhere nowadays. They sell it at the Walmart Supercenter. They sell it at Target. They sell it, at any grocery store. So essentially, you'll look for it in the grain section.
Okay.
So, at Jewel, where they have their natural and their organic section, you can find it there. Or you can find it in a lot of like the side dish grain section.
Okay.
If you go to a Whole Foods, you can find it in their bulk section as well.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
And as they always say, take a new look at an old friend, Jewel.
You'll
be surprised what you find.
Yeah. Thank you for that.
And talking about an old friend, here's Jerry Zivic, who's got some tips on Social Security benefits for us. And he's going to share them with us right now, as a matter of fact. It's time again for our monthly visit with Jerry Zivic. And for those of you who are longtime listeners of our program, you know that Zivic Solutions was one of the people who helped make the show possible over the years. Jerry is now retired and still has the... he has got enough guts to put up with me to call us once a month and talk a little bit more about Social Security. And Jerry, welcome to the program. How are you this morning?
Oh, thanks, Bill, but actually, I just always love talking to you.
I understand. You're one
always
of the few,
a lot of fun.
You're one of the few people that do, but no, anyway, I mean, thank you. I appreciate that. Hey, there's a lot going on as far as Social Security is concerned, not only disability, but I guess Social Security in general. Congress held some kind of budget meetings on Social
right.
Security. How's it going to affect everybody?
Well, back in February, they held big budget committee meetings. The Senate held a meeting. The House Ways and Means Committee held a meeting. The House Appropriations Subcommittee held a meeting. And there was probably a meeting on meetings somewhere. And they're always talking about the trust funds and the integrity of the trust funds. And I don't know if you're aware, but Congress passed a law that prevents Social Security from redistributing the trust funds.
Okay.
There are two trust funds. There's a disability trust fund, and there's a retirement trust fund.
Oh, I didn't know it was segregated like that. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Yes, it is. But even though they're segregated over the years, they have rebalanced or reallocated funds a number of times to help out which other fund was in financial distress.
Right.
Now, coming up, there's an impending shortfall in the Disability Trust Fund. Social Security is predicting that sometime late in 2016, there's going to be a 20% reduction in disability benefits. So if you're receiving a $1,000 check, you're only going to get $800.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, how will that affect people who are at the stage where they are collecting disability? And isn't it true that once you reach what would be your designated year for receiving Social Security full benefits, that it automatically switches over to the retirement fund?
That's correct, Bill. So let's use the $1,000 marker.
Okay.
Because it's easy to do the math on that.
Sure.
So if you had a reduction to $800 from your $1,000 benefit, you know, the 20% reduction.
Sure.
Since the retirement trust fund is not in any type of danger, you would then go back to $1,000.
Ah, okay, okay. So it's in the disability. The disability trust fund where we're seeing most of the problem is concerned. You know, there's a lot of people that rely on that disability check that they get every month. And a lot of them, you know, are hanging on by their thumbnails to make ends meet with that. What are they proposing to do to try to avoid that if they can pass 2016?
Talking on that point for just a second, at the Senate Budget Committee, there was a witness called Kate Wang, who is from a group called Justice for Aging,
mm-hmm.
and she noted that 70% of all disability recipients are over the age of 50, and there are over 30% over the age of 60. So this is an aging population that is at great risk, and she was talking about how a 20% impact could, as you say, just be devastating to people.
Sure.
People wind up homeless or without food, and so it's going to put stress on other social agencies. So what Social Security has done historically is they've rebalanced the funds. So one fund loans the other one money, and the retirement fund is in really good shape. And so what Social Security wants to do is they want to have a short-term reallocation of funds from the retirement fund to the disability fund that will end in year 2020.
Okay.
Their actuaries said that this reallocation would allow both funds to pay full benefits into the year 2033.
Okay. All right.
And so, as I was saying earlier, Congress passed this law that there is no... there won't be any rebalancing of funds, which a representative at the House Ways and Means Subcommittee basically called it a manufactured crisis. That was Senator Becerra said the shortage in the Disability Trust Fund was a manufactured crisis, and he noted that this has been done. They've rebalanced funds either 6 or 11 times before, as I said earlier, depending on how you wanted to find a rebalancing of funds.
Sure.
And in the Senate committee meeting, they were talking about raising the cap on your FICA earnings, which is now, I think, $118,500. That was Senator Whitehouse said that. Senator Sanders, who I guess he's the gentleman that's running for president now.
Right, from Vermont,
He wanted to remove the cap altogether, so your earnings, even if you made $1 million, would be subject to FICA. And then there's a Senator Corker who wanted to adjust the cap and the retirement age. So there's a lot of moving targets on what's going on.
And you know what? It's very interesting that we're getting into this particular topic and issue with a presidential election year just around the corner as well. It's got to have some kind of an influence on where a candidate is going to stand on this issue.
Well, there's a lot of posturing, and as you know, the impacting Social Security is huge in a state like Florida. Everybody watches what's going on.
Sure.
With Social Security.
Sure, that's for sure. Did the disability fund kind of run into this shortfall because for a while a lot of people who couldn't find work were able to somehow finagle a way to collect disability to have income coming in?
Well, I'm going to have to disagree with the word finagle.
Okay.
Okay. I think certainly the economic downturn had an impact on disability applicants, where people lost their jobs and couldn't find other kind of work. A lot of people did go into the Social Security system saying, well, I was sick anyways.
Right.
But I think it's really hard to suggest that they finagled these benefits, because there's a definition of disability.
Right.
And that's the inability to do any kind of work for a period of a year or more.
Right.
So if Social Security, a neutral government agency, is determining that these people can no longer do any kind of work for a year or more, then you really haven't finagled it. You're actually entitled to these.
Right. I probably used the wrong phrase there or verbiage there when I referred to it as finagled or not.
Not to say anything negative, I think a lot of people get impacted by connotative meanings.
Sure.
Of words. And there's this whole big, there was this whole big buzz upon fraud and the misuse of the system, But the point is, if the system itself, if you don't like what you created, you need to change that system.
Right.
But people, you know, are being vetted here. They're applying for benefits, and the government is saying, you know, you're entitled to these benefits. So there's nothing, you know, nothing, you know, in theory, unless you're creating some sort of fraud, which there are certainly some people that are doing that, right. You're entitled to these benefits. I think what's missing in this scenario is when the economy was strong, companies made more accommodations for workers to keep certain skills online.
Mm-hmm.
So because they didn't want to lose those workers. But as there was a downturn, then they let those people go.
Right.
Also, another factor on why the disability trust fund is increasing so much is people are getting older. The baby boomers are getting older. And
right.
As you get older, you're more apt to break down.
Right.
So there's going to be more people applying. So there are several factors. And then there's the gender factor, which is almost never talked about, where before, well, basically you had just men in the workforce. Now you have men and women in the workforce.
Right.
So you have both genders that can become sick, disabled, and unable to work.
True, and each of them have, at one time or another, if you get the two income families of that, both were working at a time, and the each spouse is equal, what am I trying to say? Each one is eligible.
To be able to collect. Record.
Yeah, they have their own right. That's it. They have their own earnings record in that. So, where do you think this is going to end up? What do we see happening with this? Because you were saying before that there's a lot of posturing going on about this. And what do you think is going to be the final outcome? It seems like it's always taken a hit. Social Security because of the way the ages happened.
I think at the end of the day, I think there's a possibility that they might readjust the definition of disability and how and where that's going to go. Because right now, it's, as I said, it's your inability to do any kind of work for a period of a year or more, and that's factored by your age, education, and work background. So how they can make that more stringent than any kind of work, I don't know.
Right, exactly. Now, if somebody is collecting disability, and if they see this handwriting on the wall that they may get the 20% decrease in their benefits, can they opt for early collection of Social Security?
Not if you're not eligible for retirement benefits. You have to meet retirement criteria.
Okay. But and that would usually be what it used to be, 62, you get a percentage, and then at 65 you would get the full percentage. But all of those, that all got blurred when the rules were changed a few years back.
Correct. Now it's the retirement age is like 65 plus or 65.
Right. Yeah, like 65 and a half or older. Yeah, that's...
we're laughing for Judy, it's like... She'll be dead before she
arrives.
And for those who don't know who Judy is, she's my wife.
That's right. She's the lady who keeps this man honest to that. Jerry Zivick joins us every month on the program to talk a little bit about what's going on with Social Security, the disability, as well as retirement. Our program's The Beacon. We'll be back with more right after this.
Engine.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to GoDirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Welcome back to The Beacon.
We are here and we are with...
Square.
Square.
Gosh. We are here and we're square. That doesn't rhyme. Lainey, that doesn't rhyme. All right.
Tom Persky is going to be sharing some technological. You're eating too much healthy food.
I know.
And Brian Hawkins is going to join him in Tom's Corner.
Well, Welcome into another Tom's Corner, everyone. I'm Brian Hawkins with the man himself, Tom Persky. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. How about you, Brian?
I'm doing well. Football season is upon us.
It is. So, yeah. Bears have a new coach, so maybe there's a little bit of hope.
Yep. And a new defense, too. So hopefully it'll all shake out. But while we're waiting, actually, for the games to start, here's something everyone can think about, and that is, as you know, there's lots of portable video magnifiers out there. Tremendous variety. And so you probably would help a great deal if you could shed some light on how to sort out which ones people should be using.
Sure. That's been an important topic the last several years. Mm-hmm. And it seems like everybody's jumping into the game. And it's getting crazy out there. So what we're talking about, for those of you who are not familiar, is persons who have experienced vision loss, like macular degeneration or glaucoma, retinitis pigmentosa, diabetic retinopathy. These are some of the main causes of vision loss. And so magnification has always been important for somebody to be able to access print materials. So for years, all we had was the optical magnifiers, and now these new video magnifiers actually use a camera, and they use a set of little LED lights to shine down on the paper. Mm-hmm. And the advantage of using a camera is a camera can boost, it has a little zoom capability in there, and so it can boost the size of the letters much bigger than a magnifying glass can, which is one huge help. The other thing is you can actually continuously zoom, so that means, you know, you can start at a certain 4x or 3x or whatever,
right?
And then you can just go right up the scale to 10 if you need to, then back down to 4. So a magnifying glass only gives you one power.
Right.
And so these cameras really do the nice job. The other huge factor for a lot of people, for instance, like glaucoma, retinitis pigmentosa, seems to respond well to high contrast images with like white letters on a black background. Mm-hmm. And people say, wow, that's just, which you don't have that capability with a magnifying glass of actually changing the contrast and changing the foreground and background colors that appear. And so these are all things that have made these video magnifiers really possible and very popular nowadays. And so we show a lot of those at our road shows. We show them here in our Chicago Lighthouse retail environment. Mm-hmm. And also in our Glenview store, up in our Glenview Chicago Lighthouse North location. We kind of use what I call a kitchen table approach, if you have not been here before, where you can sit with me or one of my technology staff around a table and chairs and bring in some of the materials that you'd like to be able to read. And we just simply introduce you to one model after the next. I think we're carrying about 10 different models. Wow. Right now.
That's a lot.
And so it's a lot, but it doesn't take long, really. It takes, you know, 30 or 45 minutes to really kind of immerse yourself in understanding how these devices work. Mm-hmm. And so forth. So one of the reasons I brought this up is because the end of July started, or the end of June started our new fiscal year. So July, we are now into the first month, and we looked back through our inventory, what we had last year.
Right.
And because there's so many new ones coming out, the few of the older models that haven't been sold yet are still here. And so I think in the next 2 weeks or so, we will probably be posting those also on our website. So it might be an opportunity to purchase one at $100 or $200 off, actually.
Wow.
And so that'll be really good. All of our products are seen on our Chicago Lighthouse website, which you can go there directly with Lighthouse ToolsForLiving.org. Mm-hmm. Is one way to get there, or just ChicagoLighthouse.org, and then click on Shop Online. So when you get to the homepage there for the store, on the left side of the screen, you'll see portable video magnifiers. You'll also see a column that says used equipment. And so even if we have equipment that's been demonstrated before but never been sold. We put it in that category of used. So that'll be where some of these new devices will be listed. So we're looking forward to that, being able to offer those at a little bit lower cost. These range in prices of $295 for the small 3.5-inch screen, mm-hmm. up to a 7-inch screen, which runs about $900. So that was another thing I was going to talk about is the variety of screens and why would somebody buy a small one, a medium-sized one, or a large one.
Right.
Well, it all has to do with your lifestyle and what you're going to use it for. So many people who are traveling a lot, maybe doing shopping on their own, being able to go to a store and read food labels, be going out to restaurants and reading menus, they might want something small, that pocket-sized almost. Mm-hmm. And some of these new ones, we have the one called the Butterfly now that everybody loves, and that is definitely a pocket-sized magnifier. So if that's your lifestyle and you want to be able to read anywhere on the go, that's really important. We have seniors who maybe aren't getting out so much. They just want a larger screen because they're sitting at the kitchen table reading, mm-hmm. their mail or reading the newspaper or whatever. So they might like a 5-inch screen or even the larger now 7-inch screen that looks like a tablet. It looks like the size of a small, like a iPad mini, mm-hmm. and it gives a nice bright image. They even have like a tilt screen that you can set down right in front of you. They're very lightweight. All these devices plug in the wall overnight and they charge, and then usually they give you 4 to 5 hours of operation during the day. So we've seen that. The other, I guess you would say, the thing that you have to choose is, and this is where we can help, is based on your eye condition. If you have sort of a mild to moderate vision loss versus people who have more severe or profound vision loss, mm-hmm. because some of the cameras start very low in magnification and go up slowly. Others start very high magnification and go up really a lot, like up to 20 times, for instance, a normal size, which there's no magnifying glass that can do that.
Right.
So when we show people, we do a short assessment to see what their vision is like, and then we can guide you as to what device would be the best. So obviously the smaller the letters on the screen, the more you can get on the screen at one time, so it's less frustrating for people. So actually the lower magnification is better if you can still read it. But if you can't read it, obviously, then we have to boost up the letters. It doesn't all fit on the screen. So it takes some time to movement. So that's part of what we're trying to do with people, is assess where their vision is, assess what their lifestyle is like, mm-hmm. and then make the recommendation for the right kind of magnifier. So our team here in Chicago, me and Eric and Luke, do that a lot, almost every day here.
Right.
In Glenview, Melissa has been doing really lots of technology. Also, Jeremy in our Glenview office. So you can make an appointment. There's no charge for the time that we take to do that. And so it would be better if you call ahead, just so that we can keep that time aside for you. So the main call probably here would be Sandra, 847-997-3677. So 312-997-3677.
Okay.
In Glenview would be 847-510-2060. 510-2060 in the 847 area code.
All right. And, of course, there are road shows coming up, so folks...
well, here's another opportunity, right?
Right,
For people to see all this equipment. We've got one coming up August 27th, which is a Thursday from 10 in the morning to 3 in the afternoon. It's an open house, so feel free to come. It's at the Wheeling Township office, which is on Arlington Heights Road there in Arlington Heights.
Okay.
They have a low vision group there that they also meet monthly. So if you call the township office, they can tell you more about it. It might be something that if you've never sat and talked with others who are going through vision loss, might be a real help. There's a special seminar being held in September by the Macular Degeneration Association. And this is a group from Florida that comes every fall. And they have several ophthalmologists that come and speak. And the last couple of years, they insist that I come and speak. So that's been kind of fun, and talk about living with macular degeneration and what it's like.
Oh, okay.
So that's from 8:30 in the morning till 12. And that's going to be in Elk Grove Village. So we can tell you more about that, or you can call us directly at 312-997-3677. Sandra will have all that information for you.
Okay.
And we're looking at a couple other things in September already. September 10th, we're looking at Vernon Hills for the first time ever, going up north to Vernon Hills. And then the following week on Tuesday, Friendship Village in Schaumburg is a popular one. So we are going to be on the road burning up our tires.
Yeah, well, hopefully gas prices will go down. So it'll be the fall. But that's all great. So if folks want to find out about or try out portable video magnifiers, they can do so at the road shows or make an appointment to come in to the Lighthouse.
Exactly.
All right. He's Tom Persky. I'm Brian Hawkins. This is The Beacon.
If you want to get more information about the recipes and where to find out about what Lainey has to offer every week in our Let Us Turn Up the Beat segment, you can check out our website, and she knows that better than I do, which is
ChicagoLighthouse.org, and you can search for The Beacon, and all our little podcasts will be right there.
Hey, but how about the one that you're going to put the recipes
on? The Facebook
on?
Page. So our Facebook page, if you have a Facebook account,
yep.
Just go to your page, and in the search box, search for Lighthouse Beacon, and we'll be there. We're there for you.
All right.
So join us. You can comment. You can ask questions. Just be nice. I don't do well with criticism. It makes me cry.
She gets those big eyes. You
I
know,
do.
You see those paintings they sell on the gas station?
Big crocodile tears.
Big crocodile tears anyway.
You do. So just be nice.
That's right. I mean, come on.
Yeah. I mean, just in general. As a general rule in life.
That's exactly.
Put that out
that's
there.
For sure. And as a general rule, our boss, Dr. Janet Slick, is responsible for making this program possible. And she's just got to love this segment.
I'm glad.
That, you know, because she's very much into eating healthy and that sort of thing as well.
I'm glad that it's been successful so far.
And you know what? It may help the folks at Friedman Place, too.
I hope so.
You know?
I hope so. Yeah.
They've been with us since the beginning, and, you know, hopefully they'll stay around a little longer with all the healthy food that we're doing, too.
Well, they've committed to us thus far, so
that's it.
Let's hope they stick with us for a while longer.
Thanks to Sandra Murillo, our associate producer on the program. Brian Hawkins not only is a fantastic technical wizard who makes this voodoo that he do sounds so good. And then, of course, the host of Tom's Corner. Mighty House folks coming up next. I bet you they had to settle down a little bit because when we talked about grain, they got all excited. So we're not talking pine or red oak here. We're just we're talking about something totally different. They're around the corner. We'll see you back here next Saturday morning. I'm Bill Churick.
I'm Lainey Kleeman.
Right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk.